more audios, go to www.wordchurch.biz. That's B-I-Z.
Well, Jeremiah 33:3 said, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known." And, you know, a lot of time we want to know what's going on in our life, and especially when we make a big decision about our spouse, our children, and we want to know exactly, and we want to know 10 years from now. But God said, if you pray, you will know. If you call on the Lord, Lord will answer you and tell you the great and the hidden things that you have not known. And Jesus said, peace be with you. And even in the Old Testament and New Testament, when angels of the Lord show up before people, they all scared and they think they're afraid they will die. But the angel of the Lord will first say, there was peace be with you. Fear not. In this world, if we look, watch on TV or read the newspaper, we see so many things going on. The war, the rumor of the war, and the natural disaster, and the, you know, so many people, all they talk about is the disaster, the genocide. And the unhappy things and unknowing, they live in fear, and all they can see is the negative, all they can hear and concentrate is the negative, and the Lord wanted us to know, if we spend time with Him, we will know the time and the season. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes. I always cannot say this word. Ecclesiastes. Chapter 3. And you know, the Lord gave me the opportunity. I have lost time alone. This afternoon, my mother-in-law has a beautiful magnolia tree and has lots of shade. And today, you know, it's very cloudy, and it's the perfect day for me to rake the leaves. So I was raking the leaves and praying. I just felt the Lord want, as Christians, to pray about the timing in their personal life. This year, the first of this year, is like this year is the year you need to pray, so you will know when to stand, when to walk, when to run. You do not walk ahead of God, but you do not walk far, far behind God, you know. And the Lord said, I will lead you step by step. And if you spend time with the Lord in the presence of God, you will have peace, joy, prosperity. And you will know, you know. You have peace inside of you. You will do things maybe other people say, hey, why you do that? That sounds crazy. But you know it's the Lord asked you to do. And a lot of Christians said this, obedience is better than sacrifice. God wants us to obey Him. If we love the Lord, we will do the best we can to please God. You know, that's what God wants us to do. Okay, let's turn to chapter 3, start at verse 1. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. And you know, one great author wrote a book called No War, No Peace. And I read this whole book. It's a pretty thick book in Chinese. And that's a long time ago. The story, the detail, I forgot. But the last time, especially when I felt to be strong in the Lord, the Lord will remind me the title, No War, No Peace. And, you know, we need to understand we are not against the flesh, but against the devil. And sometimes, okay, I have these things wrote on my refrigerator a long time ago. It's like, the Lord will use people to bless you, and the devil will use people to destroy you. And for you, you need to have discernment. Who are God sent to you to help you to be strong in the Lord? Who are used by devil to discourage you, to pull you away from the Lord? And you know, a lot of people say they are Christian, but that doesn't mean they are Christian. And a lot of people, they are Christian. They do love the Lord, but they are not mature, and the hindrance in their life blinded their eyes. They cannot see the truth. They're used by the devil. And we need to know, you know, I'm even, sometimes I want to do the good things, but sometimes I say things I regret to say it, you know? And sometimes I regret things I should do, but I didn't do, you know, because the pressure or the world think, oh, you are crazy if you do that, you know. A lot of people, a lot of Christians have good heart, but they don't know when it's the time to run, when it's the time to stand strong, be still. And Elisha was waiting in the mountain to, first it's a fire come, but the Lord was not in yet, and then storm come, the Lord is not in yet, and then it's a silence, and he heard a small voice, and God told him what to do. You know, we need to know God well enough. What is from the Lord? What is not from the Lord? And when I'm telling you, God wants us to be mature. God wants us to knowing what's ahead of us. God wants us to know where we are. Because people are watching. If you say you are Christian, they are watching what you say, what you do. One thing I feel led to talk about is the 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I talk about this for a long time, and actually a lot of time. And at one period of time, I talk about the 1 Corinthians chapter 13 every Thursday night for at least 6 months. At least 6 months. And after that, I did something probably some Christians, they don't agree what I do. I have one lady, Lord bring her to my life. And I just felt, you know, this lady, she is a prayer warrior, but sometimes she is more like, you know, like Wednesday is the church day and Sunday is the church day. And Sunday, if the cow run to the ditch, you cannot save them, you know. And I just felt the Lord wanted me to spend time with her on Wednesday night. And as a matter of fact, after all these years, we are still doing it. Wednesday night is a girls' night. We have fun. We eat the junk food. We watch. And this Wednesday, we watched Heaven is Real. I mean, it just really blessed my heart. The week before, we watched Noah. And when we watched Noah, you know, she opened the Bible to about the Noah. And that's the movie Noah. Something is not in the Bible. And when we watch it, we just feel, you know, just need to pray. And you can feel the ugly spirit, you know. And after watching the movie, we just pray. And then she checked on the director who directed the movie, found out that the director is not Christian. And he changed the story of Noah. You know, sometimes after that, I just felt that the Lord wants us to be, you know, fear God. God is not being mocked. You know, if you several years ago, we have a movie called Emma Almighty. It's a talk about build the art. But because the title and the things is, when people watch this movie, they know it's not the Bible. They know it's a comedy. You know, use Noah's story as an impression, you know, but it's not the Bible. So when heathen watch that movie, they will not be confused about God. In the Revelation chapter 22, start verse 18, said, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away that person's share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. We need to be careful. And also, it's important to yield the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit lives inside us. Jesus lives inside us. We know. If we truly seek Him, we know what is God, what is not God. And my friend and I and Johanna, we prayed for salvation for that director who directed Noah's movie. We prayed the Lord will open his eyes and open his ears so he will see the truth, because truth set people free. And during the week, I just pray a lot. And Lord reminded me about how I became Christian. It's the love the Christians could give to me. Wants me to accept Jesus Christ, because I want their happiness, their joy, their peace, their love. You know, they helped me knowing I cannot repay. But they helped me. And they tell me the truth about Jesus Christ. That's how I become Christian. And Lord wants us to tell the good news to people, to help them, set them free. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Let's start verse 1. Use chapter 13 as a closing. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or lewd. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these is love. Peace be with you. Scott?
Several weeks ago I talked about, brought in the scripture from 2 Peter, so let's look at it again. Chapter 1, and 2 Peter, chapter 1, start with verse 2, we'll read through 4 at this time. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Before we go on, let's talk about the grace and peace is something to be multiplied, added to, given to our spiritual life so that we grow in the knowledge of God, grow in His knowledge and of Jesus Christ, His Lord, our Lord. We just want to grow in God, and that's what Julie was talking about, is growing to maturity. Verse 3, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory, His glory and virtue, by which we have been given us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now we talk a lot about faith, because the Bible does say without faith it's impossible to please God. And that's the beginning point. And God gives us this special measure of faith to believe in Him, that His Word comes alive when we start believing it and accepting it as what it is, the truth. But faith has to be added unto. Here he says, we've been given a great and precious promises, exceedingly great, that through them, those promises, we are partakers, become partakers of the divine nature. Now, someone says, well, you're just trying to be like God. Yeah, I am. Because if I'm going to partake of His nature, that means I'm going to act like Him, think like Him, talk like Him, and be like Him. Doesn't mean that I am God, it means that I'm like Him. There is a difference. In Philippians chapter 2, it talks about Jesus did not think it robbery to be equal with God, but took upon Himself no reputation as Son of God. So we see here. Look at verse 5 now, as we're talking about growing. This scripture is talking about growing in the Lord. But also for this very reason, verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith. What? We're supposed to add to your faith. Add to your faith. What does yours say, Dana? Verse 5.
For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith.
Good. So what are we going to add to our faith? It's going to be more than faith that gets us to the perfection, gets us to the maturity, to be mature Christian. Faith is good to have. And by faith, Abraham received righteousness. And we receive it in the same way. But we're to add to your faith virtue, and then to virtue, knowledge. And then to knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance or patience. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. You see the progression here? It's talking about adding to your faith these things. It's almost like taking a step, growing, and then taking another step and growing in that. Ultimately, we're to grow into brotherly kindness or love. And agape love. As she read 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about if you don't have love, then you have nothing.
Yeah.
Or you are fruitless. Fruitless. And here in verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Love covers a multitude of sins. You know that. Love has the ability to forgive your sins and to wash you clean and make you white as snow. That's the love of God that comes to us. God so loved the world that He gave His Son as a sacrifice to bring us to this nature. And here he says, to godliness, we're to add brotherly kindness and to brotherly kindness, love. Godliness, you would think that if you're not like God, that might be what it's all about. But there's still another couple of steps in the spiritual growth pattern that God says, Paul here says, God says through him, that we are to grow in godliness and brotherly kindness, and then into love. Well, Jesus said the two great commandments are, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. What's the second one? To love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
We are commanded to love and to lay down our lives for our friends. Because Jesus said, no greater love is there than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And he's talking about himself. Unless you are willing to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me, he said, you will be unfruitful. He has ordained us that we would bear fruit. To be connected to Jesus is the way that you bear fruit. To be joined to Him is the way you begin to change from the inside out. You begin to change. I know that when I first came to the Lord, and that means I repented of my sins and I came to Him and He filled me with His Holy Spirit. The first thing that I noticed to start to happen was the change on the inside.
Yeah.
The outside didn't change right away, but the inside changed, the heart changed, because Christ came in and He made me a new creation. And then He empowered me by the Holy Spirit, which added to His power in my life. Added power. See, the scripture says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Not in your own strength. Not in your own might. Be strong in the Lord. Let the Lord take over your life. And that's what happened from the inside out. I always call it an inside job. God is doing an inside job. He knows all about you on the inside, and He knows how to change your attitudes, your thoughts, your understandings, the things you believe in. This needed to be changed. Because without changing the heart, you'll never change the outside. We all know that on the every year at New Year, the people want to make a New Year's resolution.
Yeah.
But the problem is, most of them are trying to change from the outside. And no change on the inside. Jesus came to make us new creations. That seed that is in us came from our Heavenly Father. And that seed is holy and is different than it is here on the earth. The seed that we were born in the flesh, that seed was born into a sinful nature, but the seed that came from Christ gave us a holy nature. So here we are to be partakers of the holy divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's verse 4. Having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Where does corruption come from in this world? It all comes, according to this, from evil desire. Lust. Evil desire. We understand that many things that are going on in this world, particularly that come through the human race, have to do with something wrong in their hearts. They are bound to a sinful nature. But Jesus came to set the captives free, to deliver those who are in bondage. When you're in bondage, it's kind of like you're just going along and going to wherever feels good, looks good, and you're going to be tripped up by that kind of lifestyle. And just sometimes, especially in the areas of drugs and sex and other things, it seems that it just keeps growing. When you participate in it, it grows and you want it more. We know that people get hooked on drugs. They'll do anything to get the money, to get the next fix. And so what we want to do is break that bondage that's leading them to be bound up, so that they can be totally set free. And it's only through Jesus Christ that they can do that. You have to call upon the name of the Lord. All those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But they must be changed by the power of God. Jesus comes into us and allows us to escape. There it is, verse 4 again. Chapter 1, verse 4. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. For that reason, you need to add to your faith.
Yeah.
We need to add to our faith. Now turn over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Maybe it's 3. Philippians 3. Verse 7, Paul says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Mm-hmm. Have you counted the things that you gave up as loss for Christ? Because that's what they are. The things you gave up when you came to Christ, it didn't matter to you anymore. You gave them up. You gave them away. And Jesus Christ became more important to you than anything else. What things were gained to me, I thought they were good for my life. They were gain. But I counted them lost when I met Christ. When Jesus came into my life, there was so much better to know Him than it was to have the position or the job or whatever status of life that He had. And He had everything. He was high on the level of Jewish religion in Jerusalem. And He knew the law perfectly, and He tried to live it to the letter. What things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yet, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered, and suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Do you understand? He says all things. I lost all things. He gave up all things. He gave up His whole life to follow Jesus. Verse 9, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness. In other words, He worked His whole life trying to gain the righteousness of God, to be right with God, and know that everything is, He has a relationship with God. There was the righteousness makes ability to have a relationship, which is by the law. But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Let me ask you, do you know Him and the power of God's resurrection power? The power of the resurrection that He raised Jesus from the dead? I think that we need to get to know this power. Because we're weak. We think that the situations in the earth are hopeless. They're impossible to change. But that's not true. That's not true. If we got a hold of God's resurrection power, things will change. The dead becomes alive. That is change. That's change. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Paul wanted to know this power. And we need to know this power. We need to have this power in our life so that things will change around us. And the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now here, verse 12. This is talking about growing to maturity. Mm-hmm. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I think what the Lord is saying is we need to do some reaching. We need to do some pressing on, pressing forward. And forget the things of the past. That's part of growing in maturity, is you have to let go of the past so that you can go on in your life before the Lord. And see, He said, then, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I have not counted myself as being totally mature yet. But this one thing I'm doing, forgetting those things behind, reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal. In other words, He sets a goal of total maturity in Christ Jesus. And He doesn't look back. and he presses on. He apprehends and he attains. He works hard at only knowing that Jesus Christ in his life. Press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, verse 15, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. So how about tonight? We make a commitment. We make a commitment. I know we've made it in the past, but some days we feel weak to where we say to ourselves, we don't know enough power to change things that we need to change. We see things in our families. We see things in our physical bodies that need to be healed. We see things in this world that are out of control. And we see, what?
In the church.
Yeah, and in the church we see things that are changing drastically to the wrong way. So we need to stay on this path of knowing Christ, knowing Him and His power, so that things can be changed. We can stand in the gap, as Julie was talking about. We can stand in the midst of difficult things that are happening and say, this is not going to happen. I say it in Jesus' name and I speak the words of God. When you speak the words of God, God watches over those words.
Yeah.
And gives them life, gives them power, gives them resurrection. See, Jesus is the Word of God. He was resurrected, wasn't He? He was made alive. The Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces deep into our being.
Yes.
So that's where the change comes from. Okay, so tonight let's make a commitment to grow in maturity, to add to our faith. You go back to 2 Peter chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
He said, add to your faith virtue and patience and all the things placed there, all the way to love. We grow until we are just totally consumed with love. You know, some of us are almost there, but we need to press on a little further. We need to press on until we attain fully God's love, that we touch other people's lives with that same love that Jesus touched us. So tonight, let's make that commitment. Verse 16, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Let us be of God's mind, the same thoughts and the same mind that God has given us. Jesus Christ now gives us this wisdom. And let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, that You're drawing us deeper from our faith. We're adding these things that You call us out to add so that we can become perfect or mature, that we can become holy. Lord, give us Your godly life. Let us be partakers of Your divine nature. Let us escape the corruption that's in the world. And give to us all diligence, adding to our faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, and brotherly kindness, and then to brotherly kindness, to agape love, to Your love, Lord. We praise You and thank You, Lord, that You're going to do this work in us until it's complete. In Jesus' name, amen.